Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Monday, August 7th. On today's podcast, we are going to cover the Philadelphia Eagles and break down the outlook for Jalen Hurts after that breakout season, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, a little 1-1A action. Of course, the backfield, the times they are changing. Rashad Penny in place. DeAndre Swift, can we salvage some value there? And of course, Dallas Goedert. We'll cover all that and more. Before I get to that, FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. I'm actually updating everything today. So all the cheat sheets, all 16 of them, all the rankings, all the projections, everything will be updated for you. Plus great content coming out this week, including my auction draft strategy article. I have my big auction draft this upcoming weekend at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So I'm getting ready. I'm gearing up, and I'll share my secrets with you. That plus so much more. The Discord community, people love that. And you get it for the entire year. Fantasy Plus, promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off on a Fantasy Plus subscription. Save that dough. Spend it elsewhere, right? Of course, if you want it for free, we do have a contest going on. It's really simple. All you have to do is review this podcast of mine, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, on Apple Podcasts. Rate the show, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle. If you're not on Twitter, you can also leave Instagram. I guess that's probably the other easy one right there. And each week on Monday throughout August here, we will pick a winner. So that means today we are going to pick a winner. And we already have two lucky winners in the hopper. So this will be the third. And this one, it is the title's pretty simple. Best FFB Pod. And, well, I appreciate the review because he says, I've been listening to Jeff since the PFF days to the rant all the way up to now. So those are the three podcasts that I've been on that I've hosted. It says, great show, very quick and informative podcast and gearing up for the season with him. The winner of Fantasy Plus for a year is at BradySports97. If that is you, you got to hit me up on Twitter. I'm not announcing this publicly. This is our little crew here. It's just us. So hit me up on Twitter, and I will hook it up for you. If you already don't have an FTN account, just sign up for the free account, and it'll speed up the process. All right, at BradySports97. If you want to be the next winner, hook it up, man. Get in there with a review. I have 187 of these things, and my goal is 1,000. So my math says we still have 813 to go. Help me out. Review the show. Even if you don't want to enter in, really, it helps the show more than you could imagine by reviewing it. Also, just a quick shout out to our sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is going down right now. If you haven't seen this thing is pretty wild. 5 games against the spread each week of the NFL season you have to pick. That is really hard. But the prize, the pot at the end of the rainbow, is worth it. $1 million first place prize. Top 100 get payouts. There are quarterly payouts for winners as well. And if you really suck, last place gets $100,000. Second to last place gets $50,000 as well. It's $1,000 to enter. You can enter up to 5 times. Register in person if you're in Vegas at Circa or any of the sister properties. You can also register with a proxy service if you're out of state. Registration lasts, right? It's open now for about another month. September 9th is when it closes at 2 p.m. All right, let's get into these Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, if you want all this information, this plus so much more is in the Game Plan Draft Guide, the newly redesigned Game Plan Draft Guide for this year. Love this thing, and it breaks down a lot of stuff about the teams. Of course, the team itself was quite successful last year, 14-3 in the regular season, a Super Bowl appearance, darn near won that Super Bowl for Nick Sirianni's squad. Of course, his offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, is gone, but they did promote internally with Brian Johnson moving up, and he said he's confident to call the plays this year. So we should have a lot of continuity in terms of what the Philadelphia Eagles do. Miles Sanders is out. Gardner Minshew went with Shane Steichen essentially to Indy, not directly, but he followed him there. And then in the backfield, well, completely remade over here. You have Rashad Penny, who figures to be the early down back, DeAndre Swift, working in passing down situations along with Kenneth Gainwell. he's not new, but that's what Swift's role should be. Marcus Mariota comes in to be the backup. Olamide Zaccheaus also in the mix. Gives you a little pop as a returner. And honestly, not a bad receiver. A little undersized, but he's not a bad receiver. What did Philly do well last season? Well, I think what didn't they do well is probably the bigger question. They were second in passing yards per play. They were 13th in rushing yards per play, but still, 4.61 is really solid. A little bit more run heavy. They called a run 44.2% of the time. Of course, they ran the ball a lot because Jalen Hurts scrambled, but remember, those are passing plays. Called a designed passing play 55.8% of the time. That ranked 22nd in the league. They ran a lot of 11 personnel, and that's actually, you know, it's interesting because they're a little weak at the third wide receiver spot, but they had three wide receivers on the field 71.4% of the time. That was the fifth highest rate in the league. I get, though, you know, in listening to that Shanahan Play Callers podcast that Jordan Rodriguez put out, if you haven't listened to it, I have no affiliation to them whatsoever, but it's a darn good show. And honestly, if you're listening to this show, you like podcasts. I mean, you have to listen to this thing. You like podcasts, and I really, really love that. But Jordan talked about how Sean McVay will run traditional 12 personnel plays out of 11 personnel. And when you have 11 personnel out there too, it really enhances what you can do in the run game. So it makes a lot of sense why they were doing that. They did run a bunch of 12 personnel, though 20.3% of the time that was 14th highest in the league. Jalen Hurts is coming off of a breakout year where it really came together. It was not only him taking a step forward from a passing standpoint, and a pretty big one at that, but it was him getting that alpha number one wide receiver in place in A.J. Brown. Great move by Howie Roseman to bring A.J. Brown in. They realized they were trying Jalen Reagor, guys like that. By the way, Eagles fans, they passed on Justin Jefferson. I can't resist. I'm sorry. You can turn the podcast off, all right? Fine. You can unfollow me on Twitter. I couldn't resist. But honestly, they got A.J. Brown in, so oh well, right? Oh well. The Reagor thing didn't work. Roseman realized they weren't hitting on first-round wide receivers, so get a guy who you know you're going to hit on with your first-round picks, essentially. So they grabbed Brown. Obviously, this past year, they had a very different draft, but a very good one in the first round with two Georgia defenders. They know what they're doing, and the results are there. And Jalen Hurts is one of these great success stories. He essentially kind of got ran out of his job by Tua Tagovailoa in Alabama. He goes, has great success in his second stop there at Oklahoma and with Lincoln Riley. And then, you know, proves he can be a round two choice. Then Carson Wentz gets the yips and he gets his opportunity. And it wasn't pretty in the beginning. It wasn't pretty in 2020. It wasn't pretty really in 2021 when he only threw for 3,100 yards. He 16 passing touchdowns in 15 games. But we knew right then in 2021 that this dude can be an elite rushing quarterback. 784 yards then, 10 touchdowns. Last year goes 758 and 13 touchdowns. He's a red zone dynamo. In fact, only one player, not one quarterback, one player in the NFL had more goal line carries than Hurts last year. Jamal Williams, he had 33. Hurts had 20. He had more than any other running back. More than Zeke, who had 19. More than Joe Mixon, who had 17. More than any other running back. The only quarterback to average more than 10 rushing attempts per game over the last two seasons, like combined, 10.1, 51.5 rushing yards per game during that span. His floor is 5.1 fantasy points with just not even including the touchdowns. He has played in 30 games over the last two seasons. He has 23 rushing touchdowns. I mean, it's just silly. Now, the thing, though, and what propels him into elite territory, and this is what maybe hopefully we'll see out of somebody like Justin Fields, is the passing numbers increase. Now, it wasn't a 5,000-yard season. He only threw for 3,700 yards. But you add that 22 touchdowns, so, you know, that number creeps up a little bit there. And the vertical attempts were there. 71 passing attempts at 20-plus air yards was seventh most among quarterbacks last season, was actually more than Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes was taking what the defense gives him, so it's not a knock on Mahomes, but it just kind of puts things into context. Hurts, is now in that elite category. Now, of course, being an elite fantasy quarterback means, as I've said in some of the other podcast episodes here, I'm not going to end up drafting you, unfortunately, in any leagues. But the good news is I have a deep keeper league, Superflex Keeper League, where I picked up Hurts in 2020. He was undrafted, so he has been an extreme late round keeper for me ever since, and I'm okay with that. It's an escalation league, but you only escalate a round each year. So I have Hurts basically forever in that league, and I am ear to ear with that one. Of course, he's thrown to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So let's talk about Brown first and foremost. We knew the potential was there. I mean, we saw the 11 receiving touchdowns in 2020 in Tennessee. 2021 wasn't as good, obviously. It was a little dinged up, but we knew the potential was there, and it all bubbled to the surface, came to fruition last season. 88 catches, almost. He was 4 yards short of 1,500 yards, 11 receiving touchdowns, 17 yards per catch. All the numbers were beautiful. 6 catches of 40-plus yards, 5 100-yard games, 10 end-zone targets. He was very productive on go routes. Listen to this number. You want to hear something crazy? So he was targeted 28 times on go routes. He caught half of them, which is fine on a go route. The higher the air yards, the lower the catch rate. So 50% is fine with me. For 547 yards and 6 touchdowns, 14 catches, 547 and 6 on go routes. 2.59 yards per route run that tied with Jalen Waddle for the third highest number in the league. Only Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson were higher. I mean, all the numbers were beautiful. He can run after catch, 17 forced missed tackles as a runner. He is awesome. He's right in that, you know, if he's not in your top six, then he's ranked 7 because he is a front half wide receiver 1 by all accounts. Now, Devontae Smith, though, had a very nice season, broke out. Almost 1,200 yards. He was 4 yards short of 1,200 yards. He was 11th in the league in receptions, 9th in receiving yards. He had 95 catches last year. And honestly, for as much maligned as he was in his rookie season, I don't think it was that bad. He had 916 yards, 5 touchdowns, 64 catches. I think we're so spoiled by these, like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, these guys in their rookie seasons who are fantastic, that we forget 900-plus yards out of a rookie wide receiver many seasons for many years in the NFL was like, whoa, that dude's really good. Well, he followed it up here. And I love the fact that he can be the 1A. He doesn't have to be the 1. He can be the 1A. He can be the, not even the 2 option. Like, he's just as good. It's just he doesn't have to, you know, all the attention doesn't have to be on him. And the big shift, and this is where Brown, I think, helps. Smith was a almost 15 air yard per target guy in his rookie season. Last year, he was under 10. That's way different, and that increased his efficiency. 1.77 yards per route run in his rookie season, 1.98 last year. He also was more effective after the catch because of those shorter targets. Yak was 3.3 in his rookie season. It was 5.1. last year. He moves around the formation 25% of the time in the slot last year, only 12% in his rookie season. So I do like that there for Devontae Smith. Of course, Dallas Goedert is here as well. He is third in the pecking order. Goedert can still see some decent volume. The one concern that I have with him is a large concern for tight ends in general. It's touchdown upside. He had 3 in 2020, 4 in 2021, 3 last year. So he can be a 700 or 800 yard receiver as he has been the last two seasons, but still kind of be capped in terms of ceiling. So that's the one thing there. And a lot of it's that red zone usage. 4 end zone targets in 2020, 2 in each of the last two seasons. I'd like to see much more there. But he's so good. Such a beast after catch. So efficient. I mean, he's the last of the wheelhouse tight ends for me. I'd be willing to look at him in the 7th round in regular drafts. Okay, this backfield is kind of interesting. We have DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny there. I do expect of those two, the one who is closer to Miles Sanders would be Rashad Penny. Of course, he is 27 years old, and he is oft injured. He has played in 42 out of a possible 82 games in his NFL career. He has not played in more than 10 games since his rookie season back in 2018. But he's a beast. 2021, 4.52 yards after contact per attempt. Last year, and that was in 10 games. Last year in 5 games, 4.23 yards after contact per attempt. 2021, yards per carry, 6.3. Last year, 6.1. Now, smaller sample, sure, But the dude is a beast when he is healthy. Can he stay healthy? If he can, he's a guy who I'm targeting if I go zero RB or punt RB2, and he will pay dividends there. Now, what about DeAndre Swift? Another guy who can't stay quite healthy. Last year, I mean, he did play 14 games, but he was banged up and limited as a result of being banged up for a good chunk of that time. So I'm looking at him as being more of the passing down option. Had 62 catches in 2021, had 48 in 14 games last year. I do think, though, you know, you're looking at a volatile ceiling and floor combination, high ceiling but low floor, which tends to piss off fantasy managers. Add to that the fact that the rumblings out of Eagles camp that Kenny Gainwell, he's being used in the 2-minute, 4-minute situations, like hurry-up situations. That's not the best news. Boston Scott's still on this roster as well. We know Boston Scott's going to perform well against the Giants, and he'll show up for those two, maybe three games if they see him in the playoffs, and that's about it. But really, I think, and it's weird because I wouldn't have suspected this, but Penny is probably the one who I'm going to target the most. Not that I love him, but that the value is the best return, potential return on investment is with Penny based on where he's going. But I won't hesitate to grab some shares of Swift and redraft drafts as well. We just know there's a lot of juice with this Philadelphia offense, and so I want to get a piece of it where I can, whether it's Brown, Smith, Goddard, Swift, Penny. I want to get pieces of this offense. All right, the next podcast will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll talk about Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, and more. Remember, FTNFantasy.com with your drafts coming up, man. It's time to get in. Promo code RATPACK gets you 10% off over there. If you want it for free, review and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. In your review, leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram, and we'll hook it up. Of course, on Twitter, I am at Jeff Ratcliffe, so follow along right there. And I'll be back on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.